All right. Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 9:32. And as is tradition, I would like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I would also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who may be present here this morning. Just a quick reminder, councillors, in regards to our standing orders at section 32 and also for the members of the gallery, public conduct at meetings. Just a reminder that all members of the public present at a meeting must, not without the prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements, and I may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such a period as chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. Leave of absence. We have a leave of absence to be granted from Councillor Edwards, who's attending Australian Small Islands Forum, and that permission be granted for Councillor Edwards to take part in the meeting by teleconferencing. Can I get a mover for that? Moved Councillor Beard, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried. And I just note that Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hardman and Councillor Elliott are not in the room. Moving on, devotional segment. It's also a tradition that we ask a member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship to lead the council in a brief devotional segment, and it's great to have Peter Grieve here to do that for us this morning. Over to
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Karen, council representatives, councillors, and ladies and gentlemen of the gallery. How you doing? Thank you for having me here this morning. I wanted to share a couple of thoughts on something that we all need at some time, sometimes more than others, and that's courage. And who would like a bit more of that sometimes? So in Joshua chapter 1, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." It was the third time that he'd been told to be courageous. Courage also is also called bravery, bravado or valour, and is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty or intimidation. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a lot of courage, especially when I'm taking steps of faith or stepping into something where I haven't been before. So it's something that we can all use. Courage is necessary to complete goals, tasks that are beyond us, and our values or use of encouragement, when you say don't be discouraged, our values actually enable us to encourage people. I don't know about you, but I love being encouraged as well. We can be discouraged or encouraged. It empowers us and reminds us that there are times we can do the seemingly impossible. So I want to leave that thought with you this morning, that courage enables us to do things that sometimes are beyond our reach, that sometimes seemingly impossible. But I want to encourage you to be courageous in your personal lives, together as you represent Redland City and represent the people, and as you do your work.
Sorry.
Fine. Councillor Mark, there's a fine there. There's a fine for the mayor. Remember that. Okay, so let's just pray for 2 seconds. Father, we just thank you for this time. I just pray for the people in this room today that this wisdom will come to help enable decision making and all the things as they talk and plan about the future of our city. We just commit it into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for the privilege of sharing with you this morning.
Well, councillors, this is the time in the agenda that we have the opportunity to recognise our special Redlanders, and sometimes it might be members of the team here at Redland City Council, but today we have the great privilege of officially acknowledging some incredible people in our community who have received the Order of Australia recently. What I might do is just probably quickly outline what they've achieved, and I'll ask them then to come up here and receive a small token of our appreciation for what they do on a daily basis. As I said, these people are four outstanding Redlanders, and they've received Australia Day honours this year in recognition of their service to their communities. It's one of the privileges as Mayor to be able to acknowledge and I guess encourage people to take that step in public service outside of the government to make sure their communities, whether it be here in Redlands or abroad, is taken care of and contributed to through their volunteering. I'm really pleased that three of the four recipients can be here this morning. So, gentlemen, if you'd like to slowly make your way up to the front of the chamber to receive your certificate, and I might just quickly introduce each of these outstanding individuals. Firstly, the newest member of Order of Australia, AM, Dr. Ross Dunn. A Birkdale resident, Dr. Dunn was recognised for his significant service to dentistry as a clinician, to public dental health initiatives in developing countries, and to professional organisations. He's been a dental practitioner since 1976. He was the world's youngest dentist, I believe. Is that right? Yeah, well, you've been practising since 1976, so you must have been fairly young when you started out. He's the owner of Complete Dental Wynnum until 2010, and is currently establishing a public dental health service in Timor-Leste. Since 1995, he has volunteered his time and professional expertise to a number of NGO-sponsored dental missions in Outback Australia, Bangladesh, Cambodia and Africa. Congratulations, Dr. Dunn. We look forward to learning more about your success as you move forward with your latest public dental health initiative. Next, I'd like to introduce our city's Medal of the Order of Australia recipients, Mervyn Reid and Stathis E. F. Stathis. Thornland resident Mr. Reid was recognised for service to veterans and their families, including helping veterans at the Greenslopes Private Hospital over the past 20 years through a number of organisations. He is an active member of the Redlands sub-branch of RSL and the Veterans Advisory Board of the South Eastern District of the Queensland branch of the RSL. He is also president of the Airfield Defence Guard Association and has been involved with the Brisbane Anzac Day Planning Committee for many, many years. Congratulations on your well-deserved award, Mervyn. Our second OAM recipient is Stathis E. F. Stathis of Raby Bay, who received his medal in recognition of his extensive service to the Greek community of Queensland over many years. A member of a number of community organisations over the past 50 years, Mr. F. Stathis has served in a host of executive positions, which has earned him life membership with the Greek Orthodox community of St. George in Brisbane, the Castellarism, I'm practising my Greek, Association of Queensland and the Greek Orthodox Youth Association. Awarded the Australian Castellarism of the Year in 2013, Mr. F. Stathis is also committed to the local community. He was instrumental in establishing the Victoria Point Community Bank branch of Bendigo Bank in 2004 and has served as the honorary chairman of the Pelican's Nest Shopping Centre Body Corporate Victoria Point for 15 years. Congratulations, Stathis. The Redlands and the wider Greek community are indebted for your services.
So we might just ask We might just bring that front up. Then we might just take the distance. Please join me in
just before we finish with the recognitions, there is one recipient that wasn't able to be here today, and he really does deserve a mention. Our fourth Australia Day honour was an Emergency Services Medal for career surf lifesaver George Hill. Many of us know George as a result of his service here in Redlands through surf lifesaving. He commenced as a cadet surf lifesaver in 1979 and is a life member of the Point Lookout Surf Lifesaving Club, where he has served two terms as honorary president. With more than 1,300 hours of voluntary beach patrol to his name, Mr. Hill was instrumental in the introduction of unmanned aerial vehicles patrolling some beaches in Queensland. This medal is well-deserved recognition, and I would like to extend our congratulations to George in his absence. Many of you would know that George has been a very big part of the surf lifesaving family here in Redlands and across Queensland, and we continue to have great partnerships with Surf Lifesaving Queensland as a result of people like George. So once again, congratulations to all those recipients, and once again I say I'm very proud to be able to serve in a city where we have such outstanding citizens. So on behalf of the people of Redlands, we thank them. Councillors, the next item on the agenda is the receipt and confirmation of minutes of the 27th of... Oh, pardon me, Councillor. Yes. Councillor Tolte, are there any others that would like to recognise? No? Councillor Tolte?
Sorry, I should have let you know earlier. I just wanted to acknowledge the work of officers. We have had the gate open at the Bayview Conservation Area at the intersection of Valley Way and German Church Road in this last week. And that's been a project that's been on the books of council for some 10 years and has come to fruition now in this term of council. And because we're in caretaker mode, we couldn't make a bigger deal of it, but I really would like to acknowledge the work of the officers. The access to the day use area has been made possible recently by new fencing that's been done by the City Spaces Group, and I would really like to congratulate the City Spaces Group for the commitment to providing walking trails and cycling networks in our natural areas. Now that Council's adopted the Bayview Conservation Area Trails Facilities Concept and Development Plan, we can expect to see greater access and improved facilities being developed in the area. I want to thank council staff, in particular Rory House, Dominic Newlands, Leo Newlands, Angela Wright from City Spaces, and I would like to thank Donna Wilson and her local laws compliance team for dealing with the unlawful motorbike use and feral animals, pigs particularly, being controlled there. Also Michael Maher, Community Bush Care Officer, for organising the Bayview Volunteer Trail Care Group. Dean Viani for being a volunteer trail care leader. I also want to thank all of the volunteers in the trail care group and the Rats Cycling Club for the many hundreds of hours of labour that's gone into the building and ongoing maintenance of the track network. The Rats Cycling Club has 470 members, with over a third of the club being juniors and children, and that's our local mountain bike group. They're a subgroup of the South Brisbane Bike Club. So the gates are now open for people to use the area from 6am to 6:30 every day, and the work will continue to improve the trails. So it's very exciting, and it's particularly exciting for people in the south, but people are coming from all over southeast Queensland to use the trails, not just Redland. So it's a great job by officers, and I'm very pleased to see it open. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. No other items of recognition today, councillors? There being none, I'll move on to public participation. I have been advised that there is... Oh, pardon me. Sorry. Yes. My apologies. Receipt and confirmation of minutes. I'll go back to where I was. 27th of January. A mover and seconder for that motion. Move Councillor Bishop. Seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meeting. CEO?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Deb Corbett-Hall, our CFO, is just handing out a briefing note, councillors, that as you remember, we were asked to provide a report to council on market-led proposals in January. That didn't happen. That was due to during the January period, the availability of key personnel, and we're slow to get the State Treasury and our consultant on board to do that. So I thought I'd just give you a little bit of an overview because there is a lot of different information out in the press around these. These are fairly new for Queensland. So, again, just as an overview that's there on that handout is entities in the private sector may wish to initiate and submit a proposal to the Queensland Government where the usual competitive tendering process has not been commenced by the Government. Private sector proposals of this nature are referred to as market-led proposals. Queensland Treasury has established a framework to respond to market-led proposals, and to support this initiative and Redmond City Council, we're working through identifying some opportunities to respond to unsolicited approaches from the private sector that would benefit the Redlands community. So, as you know, Council is continuously looking for innovative ways to continue to be financially sustainable, meaning maintaining the community's financial and infrastructure capital. One option is to partner with other levels of the government and the private sector to gain economies of scale when local and state government assets are being created or maintained. There is no immediate financial impacts on progressing a process of market-led proposals. Council will seek advice from the relevant experts should it be approached to consider a market-led proposal for infrastructure opportunities in Redlands. Any financial implications will be considered in conjunction with our corporate financial strategy and policy positions, long terms and assumptions. I've attached on there two lists, one which Council has put together through the workshops of a range of projects that you'll see which are a type of infrastructure and who actually has leads for those. What we're doing is facilitating the private enterprise to have a look at those, and then you'll see the second attachment is basically just the proposal process that would need to go to get up to the state. So at this stage, that's the update. We'll give you more of an update and the full report, I would imagine, when the new council is convened, given that these will be considerable policy decisions and impact.
Questions, are they? Yeah. Okay, it was just an update, but Councillor Barbari?
We did discuss this is that new type of loan where council... Is that this one?
No. Oh, well, it is, but this is... Market-led proposals are where the private sector comes in, makes a proposal to Treasury about building infrastructure, be it local or state, and there are different funding arrangements in those. So there's a distinct process to go through, but local government cannot... actually lead market-led proposals, so we're banned from doing that. But similar to Sunshine Coast, we're working with locals and things to get our list of projects that may be out there so that we can get them advanced. And again, I've had discussions with, along with the Mayor, with different Director Generals who are quite keen for us to progress these with the private sector to see whether we can get our infrastructure built through the private sector and the state ahead of schedules.
Okay, because at that time we thought council could lead them, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And we also...
We thought we could actually make the application in partnership, but what we'll be doing is those list of projects we'll be giving out to the private sector to see whether there's any interest to raise those. They'll then have to do... We'll help facilitate the process and obviously support it, but at this stage we're excluded.
Okay, and this this list came from where, sorry?
This is from officers. So we've had some workshops internally, so councillors are more than happy. That's hence why we're giving you an update.
Yep. No, just before, when you said it came from workshops, it sounded like we'd been involved in those workshops. That was all.
Internally.
I thought dementia's setting in because I didn't remember it. That was all. I just wanted to check that. So we can still have input into this?
Absolutely. That's why we gave the update. So this is our first draft. And remembering that they need to be fairly large, so a local park or swings or...
I'm not... Ricketts Road, even though it's in Brisbane, we need to address it for our commuters, that was all.
Yep, so we can put any of those straight lines on.
Okay.
So again, just send me an email, councillors, if you have any projects that are on there, and we'll have a look. And for those of you that were aware, with our COAP meeting, There is a budget submission into council to do the preliminary work on that Rickett Road, so they have done some scoping. So those ones we can add in.
Right, and at the time when we did discuss these loans, we thought there is a risk to council. Are we going to have more information on that to make sure
that the risk
the officers talked about back then are all addressed?
Yeah, no, as the report said, we'll present a report to you guys. There's no financial risk at this stage, so all we're doing is facilitating it, and then each proposal we will have to have a look at and assess on its merits.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Elliott, did you have a question?
Yeah, Wendy, I can't remember the workshop that I attended where these were discussed.
We didn't have a workshop. It was the officers.
That's correct. And I'll be honest with you, this doesn't clearly say in the overview that what we were led to believe when we first headed off down the track, and now it's sort of shifted to the public sector doing it. Well, they can do what they like. I don't know how that's going to work. But certainly, some of these projects here, no officers discussed anything with me on anything I'd like to see in the budget, so in this little game. And, I look forward to... I'm interested in the report because I thought we would workshop it, that what information I would have been asked to say, what do you think? And
so this is an update.
When I get this plonked in front of me 2 seconds before we discuss it, and I'm not sure when the letter came back from the government, but I haven't seen it, and I think it would be nice. It looks like we've talked about this, and I just want to make it quite clear we haven't. But I would have thought officers should have come back to councillors and said, you got any ideas? Because I've got plenty. And, fair enough, I'll wait till it comes along, but I just think the public needs to be clear on that.
Councillor Tolte?
Just a clarification, Madam Mayor, that the first item, Redland Bay Road, that's the road that we know as Cleveland-Redland Bay Road going to, into Serpentine Creek Road, not Redland Bay Road, Capalaba, is it?
No, that's correct.
Okay.
Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just as has been said, I don't recall being asked for what projects we'd like to investigate either, so I'm glad this is just a working beast that we can come to probably after the election. I'm assuming it's probably a bit too close and we may have some different people in the room. Just looking at it, item number 2 on page 2, congestion Duncan/Mount Cotton Road, I'm assuming that will lead to the possibility of dual laning Mount Cotton Road. I'm assuming that's what's listed there. I'm happy to see that the Eastern Busway and Terminal at Capalaba is on the list. A little bit disappointed to not see that the potential overpass at Capalaba is on the list. I'd like to see that added at some point, but I'm assuming that will be discussed after the election.
If I may, councillors, just as a way of clarification, this is not an extensive list. This is simply an update. We were asked for a report. We have had multiple discussions with the state, as you would be aware, that in January, like yourselves, along with key personnel within the organisation in RCC, everyone has leave. So it has been a struggle to get engagement at all levels of government. This list is, yes, we could come to you and say we've got an update. I'm sure the first question I would have been asked is, what projects are you considering? So I make no apologies for putting up a draft one, which the officers have. You will have every opportunity, as is your right, and the obligation that we as officers need to do. This is one of those straw men. So it is, again, that perennial discussion around when is consultation. So this is the first list that has been shown to you. I'm happy for you to email me or any of the officers. It's being led by Deb Corbett Hall, our acting CFO, on any projects that you would like to see placed in there. And as I say, we will be having workshops. We're just working through when we can get those convened. And I would imagine, given that we are well and truly into the election cycle and caretaker period, that will be with the new government, the new council, sorry, not government. And you will do that, and it will be considered into the budget considerations. But as you can see from the list, most of these will be long lead times, so the only things I would envisage that council would need to do is some early design and specs for this to make sure that the needs are being met. Thank you, Mayor.
That's the update, councillors. We'll move on to public participation, item 6 on your agenda. Can we have a mover and seconder, please, that we move into public participation? Move, Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Thank you, Mark. So I've just, the motion reads, the motion reads that we adjourn for a 15-minute public participation. Oh, sorry, it was Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Tolte moved that we move into a 15-minute public participation segment. And I think everyone was in favour, those in favour and those, yep. All right, so at this point in time, thank you, Mark. As I ask for Robin to approach the podium, I'll just remind speakers of their responsibilities when addressing council. You may have seen the signage in the chambers already. It's our usual practice to require any person wishing to address a meeting to state their name, suburb or organisation that they represent. And just a reminder that this information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on Council's website. I just also need to advise you, Mr Harris, that this meeting is being recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Just a quick rundown on addressing the meeting. You need to state your name and suburb or organisation that you represent and the subject you wish to speak about. You stand, unless able to do so, act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, it's my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. It's also my responsibility to give priority to members of the public who have made a written application to the CEO to address the meeting, and also my responsibility to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of people wanting to speak and the time available. My responsibility also includes withdrawing the approval to address council before the period of time has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. And if there are no other speakers, I just might see if there's an indication anyone else wanted to address council. There being none, I'll get you to start, Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors. Robin Harris, Macleay Island, and I'm representing my own personal views this morning. As a Simbi Islander, I'm passionate about achieving the planning and investment that's so desperately needed to make the future of the islands vibrant and creative. As an islander, I've seen three full four-year council terms. In the Sekamaria era, I remember phrases like, there's no silver bullet for Simbi, and the too hard basket. That's what comes to mind. In the Hobson era, we had heaps of community input and good planning, but largely missed the boat on outcomes for Simbi, except for some significant road and community building. In the current era, we see a huge emphasis on centralised control of council by a small team, a significant reduction to community access to meetings, and a concentration of power at the most senior executive and political levels, which, for instance, allows the CEO to prioritise which quite major capital schemes go ahead in whose area and which don't, without reference to council.
Point of order, excuse me, Mr. Harris. Point of order, Councillor Elliott.
That's not the case, Mayor. As we well know, it goes to budget, and CA can put it together, or you can put it together.
We actually determine the policy of prioritisation as a council. So, fortunately, Mr. Harris, that's incorrect. So, you may want to withdraw that statement.
Fine, I withdraw it in that case. Simbi has seen the advent of Translink ticketing on the passenger ferries. The council agreement was supposed to improve property values and island prosperity. But ferry fares were set too high, in my opinion. Property values have decreased by 40% in 5 years. We're equated with the socio-economic levels of Palm Island. In addition to these indignities, more than 5 million will be taken from Simbi ratepayers and the island's economies over the 5.5-year period of the agreement. Simbi's benefited from the Green Roads programme, a programme which will need the input of some 1 to 1.5 million each year for the foreseeable future, for initial construction and then for ongoing maintenance. Russell Island has benefited from sports and emergency facilities with the aid of government funding. Rates on Simbi are relatively high. We were promised a rating review but have heard nothing further. After well over 10 years, we still await solutions for the Wynnum Creek area, where cars litter every possible corner. We still await resolution of the parking problems on Russell Island. The McLean and Jetty area improvements are delayed yet again after nearly 10 years in planning, and apparently will not be started till next year. Some island cynics consider that the delay to this 9 million scheme have been engineered to ensure the Council's Budget Commission position looks good. 4 years ago, a Council resolution was passed to start investigating alternative vehicle barge options. Nothing's been done. There is still no on-island transport. These two things would considerably help in reducing parking pressure. During the last council election, the previous council administration came under heavy criticism for excessive debt and high rate rises. This council has kept rate rises modest, but, for instance, reserves of several millions have been closed and transferred. The city's water profits have also been criticised as excessive and have presumably propped up rating finances. The Simbi Reserve, which has been collected from islanders and reserved purely for Simbi capital construction of nearly $5 million, was used to pay off debt instead of being invested in Simbi infrastructure.
Mr Harris, I'm sorry, that's also not correct. That was used to pay off debt for the Simbi infrastructure. I think there needs to be some clarity to the facts that you're putting
that
forward.
Council would have had the opportunity to continue that debt. With just a modest 10% reduction in debt, Council now boasts it has one of the lowest debt levels in Queensland. And we see proposals to borrow mega millions to loan to the state to improve our roads. What sort of legacy is this for the Redlands?
Mr Harris, once again, that is not factual. I'm sorry.
Chair, point of order.
Well, no.
It's not your job to debate with a speaker from the public. He's got 5 minutes. He's allowed to speak.
That's right. Well, then we'll make sure there's an
opportunity. I've sat here through many public speakers over 12 years now whose points of view I didn't agree with, whose facts I would contest, but we sit here and listen patiently. That's what we do. We don't interrupt them.
Well, Redlands is a seaside dormitory suburb. It should be bursting with sport and recreational and water access facilities like its northern counterparts. It's been admitted by senior councillors that the city has a huge deficit in infrastructure, and this is very apparent to us when we compare with other council areas, particularly in the north. There's ample scope for forecast population increases within the current infrastructure and planning boundary limits. Yet council approves the huge shoreline project on the southern limits of the city. The transport and other infrastructure needs will likely put council financing at considerable risk and cause detriment to existing residents. Now, in addition, there is a planned 10,000-person development at Toondah and another of unknown size at Wynnum Creek. The Simbi Islands will take another 15,000 people eventually. These all bring huge capital and social investment demands. To my mind, there's no joined-up strategic planning for all of this. The decisions made by this council, together with the substantially residential nature of the city and relative lack of rate income, create fundamental funding fears and challenges for the Redlands into the future. It doesn't surprise me that council is now on its fourth financial manager. Simply building houses is no substitute for growing commerce and industry, or, say, the relocation of major inner-city state government departments. It's no good council continuing to fudge the way it has during this term. We need to have real vision instead of meaningless slogans and spin. I'd just like to quote Malcolm Turnbull. We need a different style of leadership. We need a style of leadership that explains challenges and opportunities, explains the challenges and how to seize the opportunities. A style of leadership that respects the people's intelligence, that explains complex issues and then sets out the course of action we believe we should take and then make a case for it. We need advocacy, not slogans. We need to respect the intelligence of the Australian people. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Are there any other speakers that would like to address the chambers? Okay, councillors, I'll take a motion that we move out of public participation. Move Councillor Elliott. Seconded Councillor Beard. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Moving on. We have no petitions or presentations that I've been advised of, councillors. So we'll go to the order of business. Are there any motions to alter the order of business at this point in time? There being none, just remind you of your material, personal interests and conflict of interest. Those responsibilities are listed in the Local Government Act 2009, and I believe there's a summary of your responsibilities in your agenda. Moving on to reports to council, we have item 11.1.1. Councillor Edwards, are you presenting that?
Yes, I will. Item 11.1.1, review of competitive neutrality, complaint, process, policy and guideline. I move the officer's recommendation as written.
Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Beard. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Briefly, this policy was last adopted by the Mayor and CEO in October 2012. Both the policy and guideline were due for renewal in late 2015. The Local Government Act 2009 sets out the requirement by Council to adopt a process for reviewing competitive neutrality complaints received by Council in relation to its business activities. A local government is to conduct its business activity in accordance with the competitive neutrality principle, and a complaint is made by an affected person. I support the officer's recommendation.
Councillors, are there any questions? Anyone must speak to it or against it? There being none, then I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Edwards. On to the next item, Councillor Edwards, which is 11.1.2.
Thank you. January 2016 monthly financial report. I move the officer's recommendation to note the report.
Move Councillor Edwards. Seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Just quickly, we have a current operating surplus of $18.35 million. Our capital works budget is behind budget by $2.5 million. However, this is due to timing of delayed works, and we should see some catch-ups in the forward months. Our cash reserves stand at $133.8 million, with constrained reserves standing at $91.6 million. The financial stability and management of this council cannot be underestimated. We continue on our pathway of responsible governance.
Any questions, speakers for or against, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Moving on to 11.2.1, Councillor Beard, will you present that on my behalf? Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Item 11.2.1, the Operational Plan Quarterly Performance Report. I move that the Council resolves to note the Quarterly Plan Performance Report as December 2015 and approves the changes to the Operational Plan 2015-16 listed in the report.
Move Councillor Beard. Seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Beard?
Briefly, Madam Mayor, this report monitors 81 ongoing projects, of which two only are of concern. The rest are either on track or being monitored. And the two of concern are timing issues. The first one being listed on page 9 of 18, the development of the Indigenous education, training, employment strategy and action plan. That's been held up waiting for information from CIAC. And the other one is the implementation of the asset management plan, which again is a software issue that we're dealing with. So all in all, on track and a good report.
Any questions, councillors? Councillor Boglari?
Thank you. Through you, I just wanted to ask the officers on page 4 of 18, the review of the Koala area provisions mapping. A couple of people I spoke to on the weekend weren't aware that this was coming up, and I was just wondering, it starts today, what community consultation is there? Because I had a bush care group on the weekend that wanted to
Luke can answer that. There is a consultation plan. Luke?
Yeah, I know there is. I just wanted to know exactly what it was so I could let them know.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair. There's an extensive consultation plan being put together by our comms team. We're going to do direct mail-outs to the any affected residents. There'll be website, there'll be press releases, there'll be posters right. in our customer service centres and our libraries, etc. So that all kicks off today and runs over the next 3 weeks. I'm just not exactly sure.
One of my conveners just said so they'll know where they can get more information on it.
Our website. We'll paper. Direct them straight to that, yep.
Great. It's in the paper today. Great. Thank you.
Any other questions, councillors? There being none, hand back to you, Councillor Reid. Nothing else to say. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried and Councillor Elliott is out of the room. Over to Councillor Tolte, item 11.3.1.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call Councillor's attention to item 11.3.1, that decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thanks, Madam Mayor. It's all in the report.
Any questions, Councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Elliott is absent. Item 11.3.2, the appeals report, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call Councillor's attention to item 11.3.2 of the appeals list, as was current on the 1st of February, and ask that this be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's in the report.
Any questions, Councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Councillor Elliott is absent from the meeting. Item. Moving on to. There are no mayoral minutes. Was there not a notice of motion? Okay. I thought there was. So, Councillors. Oh, okay. Thank you. Councillors, that ends the business of our meeting today, so I will declare the meeting closed at 10:14. Thank you for your attendance.